Jersey is the world.
Hi, everybody. Chris Gethard here, welcoming you to another episode of New Jersey is the World. I'm not presently in New Jersey. My family and I, that's my wife and my son and I, are driving upstate to go get a good view of the eclipse. And we're worried because rumors are that it's going to be very cloudy in upstate New York for the eclipse. So if you're somebody who else, we got any other eclipse heads out there, like me and my family, if you're an eclipse head like we are, hope you enjoy the eclipse. And it's everything you want it to be. Speaking of natural phenomena, I have to say, I hope everyone is healthy and safe after the earthquake. I was already out of town when it happened, but my neighborhood text thread involved one of my neighbors saying that her house shook for 25 seconds and her entire family fled because they thought something was exploding in their basement. And every one of my neighbors referred to it as terrifying in our neighborhood. And I have to say, first of all, much love to all of them should they hear this. And second of all, I had that weird Jersey thing where I was both very relieved to hear everyone was safe and also was like, oh man, I missed the earthquake. I didn't get the few miles from my house. I didn't get the earthquake. I did feel a little bit of FOMO that I missed out on the earthquake, but the comments thread over at Patreon, we put up an earthquake check-in thread, and it seems like everybody in our community is safe, but also a lot of people saying they felt like things were exploding in their house, or that train lines were somehow running beneath their house, or planes were flying too close to their house. And what a weird thing that we've had these earthquakes and these aftershocks. And there's a lot of rumors, and I've heard the rumors too, everybody, that apparently the earth might be mad because I disrespected the Glen Rock, and that the Glen Rock is apparently the emblem of North Jersey, and that apparently this might be the Glen Rock's revenge on me, personally. And if that is the case, I do apologize that we all had to go through that earthquake. Anyway, this week's episode is a very simple slice of life. Here's what it comes down to. Here's what it comes down to is good old Nicky Bonaduce has been staying. He's house-sitting for a friend not too far from my house. So I said, why don't you come hang out and we'll record an episode in person, which I believe we have not done in the entire history of this show. So I said, come over, we'll record it in person, we'll figure out what we want to do. And then we got there and we're sitting around, me and Nick, my wife Hallie was coming in and out of the room. We're talking about different small businesses we've heard might shut down and how we got to support them. We're talking about UFOs, we're talking about all kinds of weird stuff. And I said, you know what we need to do is just roll. We just need to roll audio on this. So this is a slice of life of what it legitimately sounds like when Nicky Bonaduce comes and hangs out at your house. This is it. We had the Seton Hall game on. It wasn't the final, but they were in the NIT tournament. And also, much love to the Pirates for winning the NIT and proving that they should have absolutely been in March Madness. And I think they would have done some damage in March Madness. Go Seton Hall. It was a good time, but we had, I think it was the semifinals of the NIT on, so you hear us referencing that, and then it's just me and old Nicky Bonaduce shooting the shit. Some of this is stuff that you've heard before, but it's because we legit talk about it all the time. Some of this is just random tangents. This is what it sounds like when Nicky Bonaduce and Lil Geth get together after 30-something years of friendship and shoot the shit. Enjoy it, everybody. No. We're watching the Seton Hall, Georgia NIT semifinals.
And talking about
I'm explaining
about
to my wife that the game's already started. Yeah. Nicky Bonaduce is at my house. This is our first ever in-person recording of New Jersey's The World. How are you, Nick? Welcome.
I'm doing fantastic.
You're staying in Morris County these days, so you came on by.
I am.
And I had the suggestion that we throw the Seton Hall game on and then just sort of record the type of conversation that would happen when you stop by my house and there's like a Jersey event like this, because this is the semifinals. Already, before we got here, I've already been on one 911 call tonight. Everyone was fine. It was this, a low-level, small car accident. We were going to record a while ago, and then you and Howie started talking about the origin of the moon and then UFO theories, and it was really fun. Howie didn't want us to record that. But now we're here, and I think we just record for like, I don't know, 40 minutes or so of just, this is what it sounds like when Bonaduce stops by. Because we sat down, and before we even started recording, we've already talked about our favorite shows on FMU, how much we like Clay Pigeon, talked about Glenn Jones and how he used to go to the Asbury Park events, all sorts of stuff. And then a number of food things. I was just telling you, there was a Ledger article about how Tommy's Italian Hot Dogs in Elizabeth might close. And we were talking about, you know, how much of that is inflation, how much of that is supply chain stuff, how much of that is people are healthier now and not eating cups of deep fried potatoes. And then also how much of it is that Peterstown and Elizabeth used to be Italian and now it's not. And that that's a food that has connections to the Italian American community, which that's kind of the mix of factors that go into that, I believe.
Yeah, it's a lot of its location too. I mean, especially for like, if there's industry in the area to support like a healthy lunch, I mean, you know, the overheads are outrageous. Just trying to find somebody to work for you anymore has got to be a nightmare. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to, in that regards, if, you know, you're tied to your business, that's like, you know, it's a lot of.
Have you been down that block? That block is very funny where there's Tommy's and Jerry's hot dogs on the same block.
Yeah.
You know that block, I mean?
That, and I used to go. And I always remember it being difficult to like park. So it's just one of those.
Yeah.
That for me, especially like a lunchtime thing, it's like, okay, if I can time it so I can get before 12, like 11:30 or something, it's like a hot spot like that. That's great. But like, if not, it's like, sometimes I just go for convenience because I just don't want to deal with the aggravation. As good as like, you know, I might be near like an epic food place or something like
that. Yeah. Cause that one is weird. They got that. It's like one of those islands. There's like a little island there, but it's along the main road.
Yeah,
and so then there's like a church right there that you can't park in front of.
It's like you're set. It's like a two person operation. It's like one of those places you need to like, you need a jump out guy to run in and get your food. But I've been like,
that's,
I don't know,
true.
Today I did my, it's weird. I've had hot dogs on my brain, and I feel like there's been a lot of hot dogs on like the internet recently too. And especially like Instagram, somebody did a good thing of Ruts the other day, and then Johnny and Hangs, which I used to love when I worked up in Franklin.
I never went. I never been that by that one. It's in Bergen County. I never been.
I was living in Belleville at the time. I would go up 208, and it was the first union job I was on in Franklin Lakes. And that's when I started going to Johnny and Hangs, and it is good. It is good. It was like, and I had this thing with like, oh, just French fries and hot dogs and a good pickle.
I just saw it too. It is true. Hot dogs, there's a lot of talk of them. I saw there was an article today that the building that used to be Libby's Lunch up on the Great Falls, they're trying to sell that building. And the mayor of Patterson is talking about how they're really hoping that it's another restaurant. Jeez. Or maybe even somebody will step in and turn it into a boutique hotel. Because he's pretty convinced. I guess they built a whole new river walk around the Great Falls.
Yeah, I mean,
they're working on reopening the footbridge.
I was driving by it the other day at 80, and you know, like when you're driving through and you're just like, I'm just looking at it, I'm like, man, I see a lot of new development. Like, and you know, I just, like, we've talked about it before, but I don't know enough about Patterson, you know what I mean, to see where it's going right now, or like.
Yeah, Patterson's really its own thing as much as any place else.
No, I know, we've said that a million times. Like, every time I go there, I have like a different kind of experience. So, you know, it's developing well, I guess.
Yeah.
People have to be able to afford where they can live, though. I mean, that's like the.
I know. But a lot of that area is like actual abandoned stretches.
Oh, yeah. That's
right around the Great Falls.
You've got to have somebody who's willing. You have to have, you know, a local government that's willing to work with people. And
but the mayor in Patterson was saying that he feels like, he's like, if we can get a restaurant back in the Libby's Lunch spot or maybe a hotel right there, he's like, I feel like that's the last step towards this becoming an actual tourist destination. But I was reading, Great Falls already gets about 300,000 visitors a year.
I think,
which is no joke.
But I think what we're not aware of is, I think when people are visiting New York City, like people who are really visiting the United States maybe for the first time, they don't consider getting into, or even if you can, like if let's mass transit, or let's say you took a car from the city, what's that, a half hour?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
So we go, we can go see this like crazy, strange, like, you know, natural wonder.
It's probably written up in more tourist guidebooks that bring people there.
It's like those things. You live around something you don't know anything about.
I know.
Or you do, or it's whatever.
Have you been to the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah.
My brother was texting me the other day that he went. He was like, did you ever go?
I got to do surveying.
No, they never brought us in school. You surveyed inside the Statue of Liberty?
So I was working with, when I first got out of Paul Smith's, I was working for Pete Borbis out of Booton. And Jim, one of the licensed surveyors, where he's licensed now, works for another company. He did a whole thing for his like college degree at NJIT, like I believe doing, and part of it was our work is making these measurements inside the Statue of Liberty.
Wow.
And this is like just when scanning was first coming around, but we were doing like traditional measurements like within the statue itself. But yeah, I've also done other work on Liberty Islands when I was working. This was on the Union side. We used to have to go over with like armed escorts, and it was like you would have to like they go through your equipment, and you have to go
they have to hold your background checks and all that stuff.
Separate background check thing for if you work on Liberty Island or any of those places.
I bet, man.
And like the one, I mean, at the time it was like they would bring you in a room and ask you questions if like they didn't think something was answered properly.
The only time like I went to the Statue of Liberty, process. I got kicked out. I was working at Weird New Jersey at the time, and my girlfriend back then, she wanted to go. No, so dude, I always had a marker. At Weird New Jersey, I was always shipping boxes and running back and forth to the post office and the warehouse in Patterson. So I just always had like a pretty heavy duty marker on me because I was always constantly writing addresses on boxes and stuff.
You're a graffiti kid. That's why
they thought I was a graffiti kid, and if I was a graffiti kid, I would be 100 times cooler than I am. I'd be the first to proudly admit it. I was not, but they were like, "Take this and get out of here. You can't come in." I was like, "You guys can keep the marker. Like, I have it for work." They didn't care. They were like, "Get out, get out." Got kicked out of the Statue of Liberty. That's saying something right there.
Yeah, one of my brothers, his dad was a pretty high up cop in Liberty State Park over there.
Wow.
Yeah,
I bet they got to watch their back. So. The streaming just went out on our game. So Nick, you were, I'm obsessive about Seton Hall. You were saying you don't really know much about their team this year.
This is a terrible thing. I mean, I feel like I watched a lot of basketball this year, more than normal, because I'm out and about and I like to see that stuff. I still watch hockey, but I just don't keep up with any sports anymore.
Yeah.
Like something happened to me. It's like I don't have the capacity to follow it anymore. Do I still appreciate it? I still love going to live sports. I've been an athlete my whole life. I've always loved playing basketball in the neighborhood. I was never ever good enough to play on any kind of like organized team, but I do enjoy it. And like, who doesn't love college sports? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is like the pinnacle of, you know, when magic happens.
Well, so here's the thing. Do you know the difference between the NIT and the NCAA tournaments?
No, tell me.
So the NCAA, that's March Madness. When people say March Madness, they're talking about the NCAA. Okay. And that's the 68 supposedly top teams, except there's an issue where there's some very small conferences that can get one team in. That's how St. Peter's got in.
Right.
So there's always a handful of very good teams that are on the bubble, is what they call it, and then they get left out.
Hmm.
And the whole Big East Conference got really hosed this year. They only got 3 teams in total, even though they're a great conference. And Seton Hall was the first team out, and people were pissed. So the NIT is kind of the second tier tournament. A lot of teams will turn it down and say, we don't even want to bother playing in it. Seton Hall was like, screw that, we're doing it.
Good.
So that's their coach, Shaheen Holloway, and this is the semifinals.
That's awesome.
And as you can see, they're putting a pretty handy beat down on Georgia, so I'm pretty happy about that. Definitely. But do you have memories of 89 when they went to the finals?
I remember like everybody.
Everybody flipped. I'm not wrong, right? Like everybody
was
out.
Watching basketball, and like, yeah, I just remember being such a thing. There was like, you know, we go back to the thing, we're from West Orange, like. People couldn't understand why you're a Seton Hall fan, but it's like, well, if you're in West Orange, like your Seton Hall is like part of, I don't know, just part of our culture.
It was really, we were inundated with it. And the whole team back then used to hang out at the Star Tavern.
Oh, that was.
And my aunt was a waitress there at the time. So it was just.
I was just there the other night. I had a couple of beers.
And you were at Jimmy Buff's today.
I went to Jimmy Buff's
today. So you'd be getting back to that old neighborhood, my old neighborhood a lot.
I feel like, I don't know why, and I come up and take care of my buddy's dog like probably twice a year, sometimes 3 times a year. It's not like I'm not up here. It's just that, like, for whatever reason, I just felt compelled to go there. And it was Tuesday, so it was Fat Tuesday, so that was an easy sell. You get a double for the price of a single.
Oh, man, that's...
Shameless plug for Jimmy's.
Dickie
D's was, like, in the news this week for making big shit about, like, everybody's like, oh, I got to go to Dickie D's for Italian hot dog.
Really?
I was like, well, I'm a fucking Jimmy Buffs guy. I'm not going to Dickie D's.
I just saw a place...
Not that I have anything against them, but...
No, but that was always kind of a thing. That was always a thing of, like, you're either Jimmy Buffs or Dickie D's.
Yeah.
I've never had a Dickie D's hot dog.
Well, it's funny, because before Mike D moved to West Orange, he was right down the street from Dickie D's.
Right down the block,
so he's like, you know...
He's a Dickie D's guy.
He played for their, like, Little League team.
But then a lot... He always says, too, that Dickie D's was also kind of his neighborhood pizza place. But then Peter Genovese writes about that and says, people talk about Dickie D's as the pizza place. Don't be ridiculous. It's Italian hot dogs. It's like, I don't know. Like, I have, who has more respect for Pete Genovese than me? But...
Well, I mean, you're allowed to fucking make your point.
Yeah. Speaking of some of these iconic... Did I tell you Brian Donahue fucking got me on April Fool's Day?
Oh, what with the...
The school for people who don't want to pump their own gas. He texted it to me personally. He's like, look at this, my newest thing.
I was watching that today. I was laughing hysterically.
I bought it, man. I was like, what is this? This is insane.
You're like, you know what? I'm traveling out of state. Maybe I should like go take this class.
Dude, no. So Brian Donahue wrote that there was a class for people who want to learn how to pump their own gas. And he put it up and it was ridiculous. And it was like this shystery guy and a bunch of like
kids and old people. I saw the entire thing.
I watched the whole thing.
That's what made me think about my class today. Because I was thinking about this as I was driving back from Jimmy Buff's. Is like I had stopped and I was in the parking lot and I ate a bunch of potatoes off the top of the hot dog.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm from West Orange. I can drive with a fucking double in one hand and fucking get on the 280.
Just the fact that you let that thing into your goddamn car.
My whole work truck is going to stink tomorrow.
I know, you're going to stink for days. Everywhere.
So like I'm driving up Mount Pleasant, just about to get on the 280. I'm like, all right, it's fucking pouring. Like I have rear wheel drive. I got a double in my right hand, the steering wheel in my left. And I was like, fucking fly and actually slide through the fucking turn to get onto 280, gun it up the fucking hill. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to offer a program to all of our listeners where you can do high impact driver eating courses where you take your favorite regional food and you have to have like, you learn about
being all over the state now. This is a course that's actually necessary because
is probably the most difficult fucking hoagie to eat anymore because it's like everything's just jammed into it. They don't make them as good as they used to, I don't think.
It's funny, man, because Jersey's really embracing Wawa, but I'm getting the sense that Wawa's kind of falling off. A lot of our friends who live in Philly, like I talked to Franny about this, and like he was like, there is chatter on the streets in Philly that Wawa's not what it used to be.
I agree with that, and like I'm a sub guy, but like I've always eaten Wawa hoagies. I have no problem with calling it a hoagie either since I lived down in South Jersey for so long.
When it's from Wawa, I do respect the hoagie vernacular. Yeah,
I think that the method for like making their sandwiches, maybe because the sandwich makers just aren't as good as they used to be. I'll get a sandwich where like there's meat sort of inside of my sandwich and then like everything is just jammed on top and rolled into paper.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like if I have to reconstruct my Wawa like hoagie, it's like you're just taking the fun out of my hoagieism. So,
dude, listen to this. So Donahue texts me, link to the piece.
I saw it. I was like, laughing.
I watched the whole thing. I'm like, this is amazing. How do you find these crack funny. But, dude, so here's what I write him back. I go, I was like, Brian, this is one of the best things. Oh, my goodness. Who just hit that from that deep? Jaquan Sanders is hitting threes from that deep. That's amazing. That kid barely plays. I text him back. I go, Brian, this is amazing. I go, my exact quote, I go, I can't believe you found these people. You did such a good job of like showing how ridiculous it is without being condescending to them. I don't know how you walked that line. And he just didn't answer.
He's like, so that was on the first laughing.
I know he's
himself.
Like so embarrassed for me. And then this morning, so we're recording this on the second or the third. What's today? The second.
It's the second. Yeah.
So I text him this morning. I go, hold on a second. Did I fucking fall for your April Fool's joke? He goes, it was my crowning achievement of the day that I got you. I was like, dude. I go, I never thought about it because he had that one old woman in it.
Yeah, she goes, well, you know, I'm driving up to Nova Scotia this year, like Maine or something, like what we said. And, like, you know, I was like, oh,
and
all,
do you know
they're sitting there and they're all looking at like the gas nozzle.
He goes, Chris, it's my mother-in-law. I was like, your mother-in-law is like Meryl fucking Streep,
yeah,
dude.
That
what the hell is going on?
That was fantastic.
But Donahue got me on April Fool's Day.
He's good, man.
I would not be surprised if there was some asshole trying to make money teaching people how to pump their own gas.
I guarantee you could do that. Like,
yeah, man. I'm like, this class should be 90 seconds long. Like, you just...
The pictures on the gas pump aren't enough for some
people. Oh, my goodness. It was really well done. But, yeah, Brian Donahue, I got to get him back someday.
I pump my gas. I wrote... My comment in his thing was, like, I pump my gas every day. And I still do. I do.
I don't know how you don't get in trouble for that. I guess nobody
cares. They
don't
fucking care. They're happy. It depends. Like, I know that, like, if I go to my gas station guy in the morning... when I'm coming out of Asbury and there's a guy, like I got a Shell card and I have an Exxon card, so I like know where to stop for certain times. There's a guy there who's so good that that's the only place I don't pump my gas. Because when I pull up, he's like there in a second and he's like actually doing it. Bless you.
Thank you.
And then like sometimes you pull in, it's like, oh, I pulled in first and like the guy takes the car that's just closer to him that pulls in afterwards because he's too fucking lazy to walk through the other island. So just get out of my fucking car. It's like, I'm going to pump my gas and be out of here before you even walk over here.
I was up on Route 10 and I was getting gas up near like Whippany or something. And the guy was like being a real chatterbox. And then he's like, hey man, I got a TikTok. You should follow me. I'm no. like the gas guy on TikTok. I'm like, man, I don't know if everybody, like I already feel like a slave to that shit because in comedy, that's how you sell tickets now.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, even the gas guy in Whippany has a TikTok.
I don't do any TikTok. I'm like anti-TikTok. I mean, there's a million ways to try. It's not even because of that. It's just, I think it's like brain sucking. Like as much as I love stupid shit like that, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I just refuse to. I think it's bad for your brain.
I think moving forward, if I do any of it.
I mean, if you have to do it for work, that's one thing.
I got to just also just pay somebody younger to just take it and do it for me because I can't worry about this shit.
Yeah, it's too much.
Can't worry about it.
You're the hardest working man in show business.
I'm doing my best, man. Trying to make moves. You know me, always trying to make moves.
It's the West Orange in you.
Yeah, that's also like the... I wonder how you feel about it because I'm like... Because you know my dad. Like, you've met my dad 100 times and I'm like...
I think he's great.
He's a great guy. But everybody who ever met him instantly realized, like, this dude's a hardworking guy.
Yeah, but it's like...
So I've always had it in my head of, like, man, I got to work as hard at this as he worked at his life or else...
Well, you just have to work as hard as you have to work because you got to pay bills just like everybody else. So, like, when you make that, you know, it's a lot of responsibility to carry around, you know? So if people act differently or whatever, you know, your dad gave you skills so that you could survive now.
Yeah, man. He definitely set the bar high. Now that I have a kid too, I'm like, oh man, I used to think my dad was pissed and he was just stressed out all the time.
Yeah.
Because those guys, like if one thing went wrong,
you're screwed.
What was going to happen? Yeah. Like, I'd be living with one aunt and uncle. Greg would be living with a different aunt and uncle. My mom would be staying with her parents. Like they'd have to spread us all out.
It sounds like as I've gotten older and you know more about your family's passing, especially your parents, and life is hard sometimes, man. You know, and you have to. There's a lot of stress to carry. And like I even say, like carry worry around with you all the time makes you like miserable.
Yeah.
So if you don't deal with it properly, or you know, everybody has these terrible, so many obligations, responsibilities, so many different people. It can be overwhelming. So if you can hold your shit together and not kill anybody, God bless you.
Oh my goodness, man, it's really true.
And like I said, we were talking about earlier, me being up here for 5 days has turned me back into an aggressive person.
Yeah, you were telling me just staying in house sitting for your friend in North Jersey.
I was like, that's just like me just again. My commute is half the time, and I'm still like.
Theoretically, it should be putting you in a better mood.
And it is in like one way, but I caught myself. Like I said, I caught myself. I was like, I'm driving by. I was like, oh, this stupid motherfucker. Like, you know, and I was like, let all that go. I was like, you know what it is? I don't get to go back home or something. I don't know what's wrong.
Now, what is it? Because so I feel like people down in Ocean and Monmouth County are just as aggressive with the driving. Does it just
Monmouth
make a little?
I don't know what it is, but yeah, Ocean's like different.
But
Ocean's
you feel like you're able to be more chill driving down there?
Yeah, I think it's because it's like the mindset is when I get there and I like park my vehicles, my whole mentality changes.
Right.
You know, there's like a detachment of North Jersey, my work and everything else, and it's like I'm in this separate place. And then also to like try and not have to get back in a vehicle again, you know, until the next day is like big.
And you live down by the water, and
that's what I always say. That's like a huge thing.
Yeah, that is a thing too, of like even if you need to, you know, you've mentioned on the show so many times, you got the Vespa now. It's like the idea that if you need to run to the store, you can get on a little scooter instead of back in your car.
One person, it's easy, you know.
It's the best. Whatever.
That's it, man. Enjoy life. Enjoy basketball. But Seton Hall, good group of kids this year or what?
Yeah,
to go see him, and that was an interesting game.
I know, man. Rutgers, a lot of people say that the reason they missed the cut was because of that loss to Rutgers. Oof. That loss, because Rutgers wound up not being a good team this year.
Right.
So a lot of people are like losing to a team that bad on their home court.
It was just like some kind of mind fuck that was going on.
Yeah, you could feel it. You could feel they just, Seton Hall could not get in that game.
The mood's off, man, you know? That's tough. It's overwhelming. They're still kids.
I know. But they are like, Seton Hall is just a very likable, scrappy bunch. They do a poll every year before the Big East season where they have the different coaches anonymously rank where they think all the teams are going to end up. And the coaches all said that they thought Seton Hall would be 9th out of 11 in the conference. So really bad. They came in 4th. They wound up coming in 4th. Like, they were significantly better than anybody thought they were going to be. And they're scrappy, and I like them. But it's been tough. That game was funny too, man, because so they invited us out. Like, they found out I was a fan, and I guess there's not too many people on the public radar who are Seton Hall fans because they seem to be impressed by me.
I thought there was like more famous people who like went to Seton Hall. I guess they're just not openly. I still see a lot of like pirate stickers and magnets around.
You see a lot of the Rutgers block R's and then the pirate stickers. But dude, they put me up on the Jumbotron there. And it was very embarrassing. And first of all, because I am a Rutgers alum, like my ex-girlfriend texted me and
that's
was like, while we were still there, she texted me. She's like, hey, so Vicky, who we went to high school with, she's like, Vicky's at the fucking game. And we all went to Rutgers, me and Teresa and Vicky. Teresa's texting me, Vicky's at the game saying you're wearing a Seton Hall hoodie. What the fuck is this shit? I hear from you 3 times a year.
It's probably the same Seton Hall hoodie that you had in high school.
Dude, my Uncle Paul got it for me.
That's what I mean.
At the Foot Locker at Essex Green.
Like the first time she probably saw it, she probably seen you wear it.
She doesn't remember. I'm like, I've wore it. I guarantee, like, you have.
I've seen. There's probably pictures of you wearing it with us together.
There's probably pictures of you, like, on my shoulder and when we're 17 years old in that hoodie, but you just forget. I was like, I've been obsessed with Seton Hall since I'm 9 years old. That's what are you so talking funny. About? And then, dude, you can vouch too. The woman next to us starts Googling me, giving me a hard time.
Yeah.
And then she turns around. She's like, you went to fucking Rutgers. I'm like, fuck Rutgers. Like, this is random woman I've barely met. I'm like, fuck Rutgers.
Like,
fuck you too.
Like, I get you.
Everybody starts talking shit and I start talking shit back. But, dude, I went to another game with Cal, and I'll tell you something I learned about the Prudential Center. And we got to do this next time we go.
What's that?
So, what do they call them?
VIP or something?
Not even like the total VIP.
Boxes?
So, they were playing Villanova, and we were at the YMCA, me, Hallie, and Cal. Hallie had some stuff to do that night, so I was going to have Cal by myself. And I'm like, man, I really want to watch this game. I'm like, maybe I should just bring him, and we'll just grab food, grab dinner at concessions, and I'll bring him. I'm like, Cal, you want to go to the basketball game? And he like didn't totally care. So I jumped on StubHub.
What an experience.
And I just got like, what's the cheapest seats I can get, like an hour or two out from the game. And I found these $50 tickets in a section at the Prudential Center. I forget what they call them, if they call them like the suites or something. But
boxes,
it's like, you know,
maybe boxes,
dude,
like
there's like the
boxes.
Lower tier and then the upper tier. And then there's that little strip in between.
It's good.
There were only like 12 chairs in there.
Ooh.
Then there's like a whole area where there's fridges where you can put drinks. If you buy it ahead of time, you can buy their food service and they'll set up some catering trays for you and stuff. But I was just in there. It was like
That's not bad.
Dude, it was so funny though, because it was me, like 6 Villanova fans, and then these 2 Essex County ass women who would not sit down. They were sitting up on the top bar stool parts. And every time Seton Hall did anything good, they were getting up and they were fucking flipping out. Yelling, talking shit to the Nova fans who were all just, they've seen all beat the shit out of Villanova. They were talking all this shit. The Villanova fans just wouldn't even look at them, just like kept looking
just
straight
like,
ahead.
Oh man, what low lies.
It was this Asian guy and his dad in Villanova gear who would not even like look
ruined,
at these women.
Ruined their already terrible.
Dude, these women who of course have like necklaces with their first names on them.
That's
like
the best.
Classic jersey. Just, they would not even be offended if I called them broads. They were total broads. But then the funniest, so Cal has this game he likes to play where he's decided he doesn't like the Seton Hall Pirates because they're not named after an animal. So he'll come to me, he'll go, I'll go, they're playing UConn tonight. What's the UConn's name? I go, the Huskies. Like the dogs? Yeah, I like them. I like the dogs. Like, you can't be in this house rooting for fucking UConn, dude. So then Villanova, he's like, who are they? I'm like, the Wildcats, but you cannot root for Villanova. Like, they're like the rich kids of the Big East, Cal, but he's making me laugh. But dude, here's the funniest part. I'm sitting there in my Seton Hall hoodie. I got him next to me, and this lady keeps coming up. And every time Seton Hall's shooting a foul shot, she's making him take his fingers and do like jazz hands. And then every time they make a shot, she's dropping them with him, and she's like, oh. And then she's like, you helped them do that. You helped spread some magic. Like, and then she would stop talking. She'd finally shut up. And again, I loved them to death, but they were loud mouth broads. And you know, I don't talk to, like, they would love it. If they heard this, if they ever hear this, they'd be like, yes, we fucking are loud mouth broads. They were the best. But then they would stop talking and paying attention to me. He'd turn around to me and be like, Daddy, I don't want to help Seton Hall make the foul shots. I'm rooting for the Wildcats. I'm like, I know, bud, but you're doing good. You're like doing good, not yelling at this lady. But he was like shooting daggers at me. Like, I don't want to help Seton Hall. I'm not trying to shoot magic from my fingers.
That's funny though. At least he was like considerate.
So dude, that's Shaheen Holloway. He's Seton Hall's new coach. So he's the guy who coached St. Peter's on that run. Cool.
That was the one who brought them to their glory.
So he went to high school at St. Patrick's. And Elizabeth.
So this was like a big opportunity for him when he came over.
So, dude, he went to high school St. Patrick's. He went to Seton Hall for college. He played in the McDonald's All-American game in high school. He got the MVP. Same year Kobe Bryant was in that game. Gosh. He got the MVP over Kobe.
Holy shit.
Got injured tail end of college, so he didn't really have much of a pro career. I think he played overseas a couple of years. But then he was like an assistant at Iona, assistant at Seton Hall, head coach at St. Peter's. But he's the one who had the famous quote when St. Peter's won and they were like, you guys are small and this wasn't supposed to happen. He's like, look, they thought they were going to come out and like muscle us and push us around, but all my guys are from New York and New Jersey. We don't get pushed around. We do that. We push people around. He's like the king of dropping some quotes. And then, so dude, there were just a bunch of rumors with him that Louisville was trying to hire him as their head coach, hire him away from Seton Hall. And the whole fan base was getting real jittery.
They're like, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's like a very good young coach.
He's established himself now, yeah.
He can clearly do a lot with a little. And with now with this whole world of the NIL, you can give these kids money, and Louisville can give kids a lot more money than Seton Hall can. So all these rumors, is Shaheen going to jump? Is Shah going to go? And, dude, his quote on it, he just goes, like a reporter finally asked him, like, do you want to address the Louisville rumors? And his... Dude, his response was the best. He goes, what's understood doesn't need to be said. I'm the head coach at Seton Hall.
Oh, no shit.
I was like, dude, this guy's the coolest. Well,
you know what? And then
Shaheen Holloway might be the coolest motherfucker in New Jersey.
All that stuff means more than just what he's saying. It means something to his players, too, because it's showing that this is like, I'm not some bullshitter.
Yeah, man.
Do you want to be the best? You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
He also, like...
That's how you lead.
He met his wife at Seton Hall. His daughter went to Seton Hall. I've read his son is named Xavier because there's a Xavier Hall at Seton Hall where he and his wife both lived when they met, I believe is the story. Like,
that's awesome.
If this dude left after 2 years
and two pretty good years. He wants to be a generational, like, you know, coach there and be that one, you know, that magic.
If he stuck around for a long time, he could become like a Coach K type at Seton Hall.
That would be awesome.
The problem, though, is like, there are so many bigger schools out there that could double his salary and be like, we'll double your salary. And in this world where you have to pay kids to play for you, you won't have to be like scrapping together every penny that you can find. Well, we can help with that.
You stay here until it runs its course and you move on to your next opportunity.
Yeah, man. I hope he stays for 10 years at least, because I think it'll be very special. And it's clear that he can... make things happen, man.
The universe will put him where he belongs.
They have truly stomped Georgia for this first half. I hope that continues.
Yeah, don't jinx it.
Then maybe we'll talk through halftime, and then I'll let you go get to bed before the...
Do you have any good luck rituals? Do you have any kind of thing like...
It revolving around these games?
Or like just in general for any sports, or specifically for like Seton Hall?
No, although I will say for the past few seasons... I've managed to at least turn on, like, for some reason, I always wind up touring a lot in March. I always have a lot of gigs in the spring. I don't know why.
Everybody's coming out of hibernation, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of towns start, like, booking aggressively. So I'm always on the road, and I will say I've, for the past two or three seasons, even if I'm on the road, even if I'm busy with family stuff, I always manage to turn on the TV or WSOU radio, even if it's for like a minute or two. I always turn on a little bit. Like I never totally miss a game. But that's that. I have some superstitions surrounding, not even really superstitions surrounding performing.
Just ritual.
Now, dude, we Star Tavern was a big Seton Hall bar. Bunnies in South Orange, I hear, is a big one now.
I've never been to, like, I've never been to Bunnies. Like, I haven't been in South Orange, like, out or anything in so long. Like, I want to go, I'd love to go to the deli over there and everything, but it's like just.
Well, dude, the one place we all used to go that we've mentioned on the show, but we haven't talked much about was Cryan's Beef and Ale.
Yeah.
You ever went down there as a kid?
Yeah, that was like.
That was real big for all the Irish.
Yeah, that was big for everybody. It was like, and it was, you know, not
I also
far from
feel
us.
Like it was a very popular bar to try to sneak underage drinks at.
Yeah, that's where I remember going to Cryan's, like, especially when I came back from West Virginia.
Because they had good food.
Yeah, and it was like a great place to have beer. But yeah, I don't. What's even there? Like, what's? I wouldn't even know what's happening.
It was right
there
down
anymore.
By the train station. I think if
yeah,
I
it
know,
was right, it was exactly. It was right underneath. Like,
if I'm remembering correctly, the South Orange Performing Arts Center might be there now. SOPAC. It might have gotten knocked down for SOPAC.
That's what I'm saying. I can't remember driving down South Orange Avenue, even like towards. I've been down near Seton Hall, but I haven't been through.
Yeah,
through all the way through.
I drove all the way through. I talked about it a few years ago. There was one
it's like
time
a void. Like I'll,
I was pick, Hallie was visiting some friends in Maplewood, and Cal was in the car sleeping. So I said, "Listen, I'll just drop you off, and when he wakes, this was when he was still taking naps as a baby. So you know, you can't wake a baby up from a nap. Don't fuck around.
No mess up.
I said, "I'll just drive him. I'll drop you off. You get go catch up with your friends. I'll just drive him around until he wakes up." So I wound up driving all through Irvington down, what's that? Springfield Ave's the main drag there. And then I wound up going all the way up into the West Ward and driving all the way down South Orange up past the reservation.
Nice.
But it was pretty wild, man, to go from the West Ward and then it's like, it's not even 15 minutes later, you're coming up on Livingston and Short Hills.
Well,
it's
like the same thing if you start like Bloomfield and you drive up all Bloomfield Avenue. It's like the same.
And then you're in the Caldwells and then you're in Fairfield. It's crazy how quick you go from.
Or if you're going from Central Ave, it's Belleville. You take Central Ave all the way down. You know what I mean? Like all these main, these were like the main thoroughfares and these county roads that you would take to like. To travel, you know?
Yeah, and you also realize...
Forget about 280 didn't exist. All these different roads didn't exist.
And it's weird, too, because even our parents remember... Like, my parents talk about when they were going out, they didn't go to New York City. They went to Newark.
Yeah, everybody did.
That's where you went and did shopping, and you and your friends hung out and took the bus to Newark.
And there's just so much, like... I mean, there's so much manufacturing going on there.
Yeah, man.
It was the jewelry capital of, like, the country for, like, a long time. Like, jewelry manufacturing.
I was reading that
you
book.
Go to the Valentine Museum. They have a great exhibit.
Where's the Valentine Museum?
Oh, it's right across from Memorial Park there.
I've never been.
Oh, it's right next to the Newark Museum.
Nice.
It's like attached to it. It's like an old brownstone. You go in there. It's like they have all this like the Valentine family and everything about them. And they always have different art exhibits in there.
I'm doing a show in a few months. They asked me to come perform at the Newark Public Library as a fundraiser for the library. And dude, I might have screwed up. I'm like, and I'm not trying to air this out to be a hero, but like every once in a while as a comedian you run into a situation where you're like, okay, these people haven't done this before and they're telling me to name my price. And like,
I know that they're doing a lot of things there at the Newark Public Library now because the other what's his name from A Weird New Jersey,
Mark, one of the Marks?
No, not one of the Marks, but the offshoot of...
Wheeler.
Yeah, Wheeler. He like I keep missing his opportunities when he does that.
Yeah.
The live shows where he shows the whole thing. Yeah. I'd love to see it in person, but I believe he did something at the Newark Museum.
Yeah.
And he did like two or three nights there or something.
Well, dude, he...
So that's becoming like a venue, like a pretty big venue.
So they email me, and the woman was very respectful. She's like, we know that you're taking a night for us, and we know you tour, so tell us your rate. And I'm like... I'm not going to charge the Newark Museum what I charge like a club in North Carolina. I said, look, I'm an Essex County guy. Let me come out and donate.
What do they? I'm going to donate. Can you, is there like a?
But dude,
way
it's
of
not like they're running a show and making profit. Like it's a fundraiser for the Newark Library.
Oh, I got you. So yeah, it's a matter of.
Like, I'm not going to milk the library for thousands of dollars. I'm not going to be like, here's my usual rate, or when I'm performing in Jersey, I need X amount of money.
Like, you know,
I'm like, it's a fundraiser for the library.
I'm sure a lot of people do it for nothing.
That's what I said. I was like, I'm going to come do it pro bono if you guys are okay with that.
Oh, were they like?
They were thrilled. I think and then they told me the ticket price, and I said, it's kind of high, guys. I was like, for comedy, that's a very high ticket price. I said, well, we are going to have hors d'oeuvres, and everybody gets a free alcoholic drink or two.
Oh, that's not bad. That's totally fair.
If you got free booze and the show, yeah.
Are they having a bunch of comedians, or is it just you?
They're going to have me and at least one or two others. And they asked me, I'm not sure who it's going to be yet, but I was like, man.
Anyway, to bring people back to Newark and do cool stuff like that, think of all this. Dude, I've talked a lot of
shit
already. You know,
talk a lot of shit about like, man, we got to try to all get out of our own way in Jersey and spend more time and more money in our cities. Like, I'm a big believer in that, so I'm not going to go, hey, library in Newark, give me $1,000. Like,
it's something in the community where like. Okay, every town has a library, and like, you know, New Jersey, some towns have better libraries. In Newark, and part of the Essex County library system is so vast. Like, you can go into the Newark, you can go to any museum, any library, I think, in the entire state, and they have the share thing. But specifically, I think of it as a resource for a lot of people in Newark that don't have anything. There are also technology centers.
You just reminded me.
They do more. That's like the cathedral of the modern day community.
Dude, this is nuts. I'm glad you brought this up. Did you see this Ledger article about libraries in Jersey?
Yeah. About their interconnectedness?
No.
I know about it because I'm involved in it a lot. And especially like there's like videos, there's online
dude,
services.
Dude, there was this great article they just put out. They just put this out in March. You'll love it. Let's go through this. I'll take people behind the paywall in case this was paywalled. 49 cool things available at New Jersey libraries. This was by Brianna Kudish, NJ.com. And they just talked about how like a lot of libraries now are expanding beyond books, becoming more active community spaces, but also just getting really creative in the stuff that they are willing to loan out. And I thought this article was great.
They also have so much free content. Like, you're able to like watch videos if you have a library card. Like, it's part of this, like, I don't know if it's a state or a national thing. Like, videos you can rent somewhere, audiobooks, all kinds of great resources. And then if you don't have a book, they'll send the book to you. Like,
it's
pretty, like, awesome.
Listen to this. So the Nutley Public Library, which I think might be where Kerry Sullivan works.
Cool.
I think. Nice. I'm not sure. They will rent you not just vinyl records, but a record player. They keep three portable record players in stock, so they can rent you the ones with the built-in speakers.
That's awesome.
The Township of Washington in Bergen County has Dungeons and Dragons monthly sessions. They said the game's having a huge resurgence, and residents were interested in more family programming, so they have these. They're overwhelmingly popular. This one cracked me up, dude. So this is in the Maurice M. Pine Free Public Library in Fire Lawn. You can rent vintage wedding gowns.
Cool. Oh, I was going to tell you about that because my mom was telling me about this because she's involved in all that down, and she does her book club in Southern Ocean County down in Tuckerton.
You mentioned this, yeah.
And I think I was telling you about this. They did this program because it was around prom time, and where people donated like prom dresses, and then like they used the library as the salon for anybody who wants to come in there and they couldn't afford like a dress. Like, you can come in there and like they make sure everything fits you properly. So like, you know, these community spaces are important, and like, listen, your tax money goes to it, and there's wonderful resources available to you. Like, you don't have to go out and buy a book.
This list
you
is
really cool.
So, dude, this
book.
Woman, so in Fairlawn, the dresses are technically the collection of the library director, Adele Puccio. Great Jersey name, Adele Puccio. But you don't need a library card. So it's like, if you can't afford a wedding dress, you go to the Fairlawn Library. This lady will hook you up. And she even says the dresses in the collection are free to borrow. She doesn't necessarily expect them to all be returned. People become attached to their wedding gowns. Dude, there's a library up in Roxbury where you can get an ice cream maker, bread maker, fondue pot, kitchen stand maker. You can go get all your kitchen equipment and just borrow it from there.
That's fantastic.
They have karaoke machines, portable table tennis sets, pressure washers.
You need a wrench? I got a wrench for you.
The Hunterdon County Library has a whole thing of crafting machines, like 3D printers, pottery kilns, t-shirt printers. Oh, that's awesome.
The pottery kilns, I'd be all over.
Dude, there's all kinds of crazy stuff. Oh, the Metuchen Public Library has a whole filing cabinet of seeds. So you can,
for free?
It started in January 2023. You can go for free.
Like that. Yeah, that's cool.
Get your flowers, get your vegetables. They have a whole seed library there. There's so much cool shit, man.
If you're willing to engage and go out there and not just sit home and order things off Amazon, there's a lot that you pay for in this state that you don't realize.
If you are like trying to learn computers,
and there's a lot of people just doing good things.
Dude, the Princeton Public Library has Adobe Creative Cloud, so you can go there and learn Photoshop, Premiere,
and all this stuff. That's Princeton, Chris. Can you imagine?
I know. You can borrow cake pans in Bloomfield, board games in East Rutherford, video games in Cape May.
I'm going to hit all those places. I'm going to borrow that stuff. Then I'm going to go to the Columbus Market on a Saturday, and I'm going to sell it all.
Steal from libraries. Listen to this. Cherry Hill Public Library has musical instruments, so you can go and borrow bongos, ukuleles. You can also borrow American Girl dolls, educational kits. It's really amazing, like, man.
Ukuleles, you just...
The Sussex County Library offers banner and poster printing.
Cool.
Yeah, man.
I just pay for materials.
And then, dude, check this out. The Newark Public Library, we're all performing, has a collection of writer Philip Roth's entire personal library.
Oh, cool.
And the Jersey City Library has a New Jersey room. And even, I didn't even know about this, the Newark Airport has a mini library.
I've heard that. The new one?
I wonder, that's got to be in Terminal A, right?
Probably.
Got to be.
Look that up.
Much love to the libraries of New Jersey. And now, can I be clear about something? Because listen, I'm not going to keep you too much later because you got to get up early for work. But we're recording an episode and we're conscious of that. I would say this is 75 to 80% close to just what this exact conversation would have been without microphones.
If you had heard the unremoved contents, you would have been like, okay.
If we weren't recording it, we would have named some more names about certain things. There'd be a little bit more talk about our personal lives. There'd
been a lot of alien talk going on.
Yeah, there'd be a little bit more talk about conspiracies and UFOs and personal life stuff.
And your wife thinking that I'm completely, absolutely nuts after that.
Wait, let's see. Okay, so an 11-year-old kid convinced the Port Authority to build a kids' library at Newark International Airport. It's amazing.
It's like Shawshank Redemption, like we're, you know... You want to do the library inside the prison.
Open so in
they
January.
Went to the library inside the prison that is Newark Airport. Is it in a, it's in the new terminal, right?
I'm trying to figure out what terminal.
I've never seen that on
I guess
plans.
This kid was traveling with her folks and saw a library in an airport at Alaska and wrote a letter to the Port Authority and was like, how can they have a library and we don't? So they stepped
well,
up.
You guys probably have a bunch of those like little community mailbox libraries.
Oh,
you ever
yeah.
See those?
Yeah, there's
all
one
the,
down
at, all over the
there's
place.
There's one
down
the at the end of the block, actually.
Yeah.
The give one, take one.
Yeah, that's great stuff.
Yeah.
I go and get all my self-help books out of those.
Which terminal? I got to know which terminal
this
library is.
Be Terminal A.
Has to be, man.
Got to be the new Terminal A.
Yeah, it's the Children's Lending Library at Terminal A. Has to be. Because C is too busy, and B, have I even ever been to Terminal B? Is Terminal B a real terminal?
B is like a forgotten terminal. I forgot who you, like traditionally, you know how like each terminal used to have its own whatever, but now it's like you could wind up fucking anywhere flying out of whoever the fuck knows what. But yeah, I don't remember going to B a lot. I always remember being A or C.
Dude, one of the workers at Newark Airport told me I was like making her laugh on the way through and we got to talking and she told me that when she travels now that the Terminal A system is so smooth that even if she's flying out of C, she'll sometimes go through security at A and then just take the shuttle.
Oh, and take
C.
the airplane over?
Take the shuttle, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know if the... Because the new contract is coming up for the air chain. So
oh, yeah.
That monorail system, not even monorail.
Are you going to work on that, you think?
I don't know. I'm going to be stuck on this job for a lot longer, but those foundations are already there.
Yeah.
Like buried next to, you go back in there and start building off the foundations that are buried like 20 feet in the ground.
These for the air trains?
Yeah.
So they have all these unused
There's
foundations?
There's a large amount of it that we had. The infrastructure was done earlier. It was part of the contract. It was right next to us.
Was that for potential future expansion? Or
no,
was
it is for exactly
was this it supposed? Train. But was it supposed to be a larger system initially that they
no,
then had to
just,
bail on?
Just,
or?
It's just, it was part of the phase of development. Like, that air train has to happen.
Yeah.
Like, that has to be updated. So it was a matter of everything going out to bid. Those foundations were part of the first phase. And, like, it's... if I wound up back there, it's going to be a very, from what I hear, like the schedule is going to be like very rapid pace. It's going to be almost like 24-hour, like multiple shift job where they want to, like, their goal is to finish in 18 months, which is really a ridiculous
timeline. A whole train system. And how elaborate is it going to be? Is it going to be very similar? It's going to replace what's there now?
So you got to figure it's going to be a combination of like new development tying into old development, like because they just built a new terminal, right? So the plan is, start demoing Terminal A, and then, you know, the whole thing is you're going to rebuild. So it's like constantly going to be changing for whatever is needed. It's insane the way they even plan this stuff.
And do they have any plans to expand like public transportation infrastructure directly to the airport?
I don't know if there's going to be any more than there is right now. Maybe just upgrading. Yeah, you know, there's such a big thing right now to upgrade all the infrastructure, and thank God, because, you know, people are posting these videos. Somebody showed the bridge out on I-80, and you saw the girder like bouncing, right? Like,
really?
You saw this girder bouncing, and people are like, "Oh my God!" I was like, "I've been under fucking bridges where like the roadway is like the beam is separated from the roadway. Like concrete is supposed to be sitting on the beam.
Yeah,
it's just like it's like when." Cars are going over, you're seeing the same thing. Like,
that's horrifying, man.
And is it still structurally sound? Like, yeah, if you look at it, it looks terrifying, but it actually is. Because thank God, like, things were over-engineered years ago.
I don't know, like, I don't know how you travel around the state and don't constantly live in fear. Because you can see the problems.
I don't live in fear. I know, I can tell you the problems as soon as I ride over, like, a fucking small bridge.
You
it might only be,
feel
like, a 200.
From your car?
I know exactly what the fuck went wrong. Like, who laid out fucking what wrong? Or they poured the concrete wrong on their approach slabs to, like, when you're going over the expansion joints in the bridge, I can feel it in the fucking ride of the car.
Wow.
Yeah, and I like it helps me because when I'm driving, especially in like weather like tonight and it's wet out, like, you know, the whole rule of thumb is stay in the middle lane. Well, that used to be because roads were crowned in the center, but generally speaking, your road is going to be like sloped across at 2% per lane or 1% across per lane. So you know how like when you're driving down, you might be in the fast lane, you're coming through a curve and there's like fucking water in the fast lane and a rut in the road.
Yeah.
You hit that at 65 miles an hour, you're going over 35, you're going to hydroplane, right?
I don't even want to think about it.
Well, I'm just saying, but like that's a reality. So in that regards, like I paid particular attention to where I'm on the road.
Yeah.
And feel your vehicle because I'm driving this truck tonight. And there's no weight in the back of it. It's my buddy's truck. And like I'm coming through, I was like, I can't drive through here like Mario Andretti like I normally would, because you lose the rear end on, you know what I mean? But if you don't drive a real wheel drive vehicle and you're not used to that, like you're done. And you hit a fucking puddle at the same time, you're off the road.
Have you ever driven over something in this state or seen something in this state where you're like, I'm not gonna use that tunnel anymore, or I'm not gonna drive over that bridge ever again until I know it's fixed?
More, you know, it scares me more like congestion or nothing I've never seen. I don't know. It's more like just avoiding certain areas because of types of drivers too.
So it's more
like
the
aggressive
people.
Driving.
So the infrastructure doesn't.
No, I mean, listen, there's so much, there's rigorous inspection going on constantly around you that you're not even aware of by like law. And just because it's an industry now.
Yeah.
So these there are so many consulting companies out there that like, actively are bidding these contracts to get the inspection on these things, that they're the drive that this is happening. And they're lobbying for this in state politics because it generates business for them. At the same time, it's good for you as a citizen, because if not, like, this stuff will be neglected. And it's not the kind of thing is like, okay, we saw this past week with the cargo ship hitting the pier and the train, the bridge collapsing. That's one thing.
But you like, sent me that video. You were up. That went out on our group thread. But you were like at work, working on a bridge. I believe.
My buddy's like, "Did you see the thing?" And I was like, "What?" And we were all looking. I was like, "Oh shit." But
and
no,
I. Then there are all these people saying like, "Man, that bridge should have this and that." And then, but I read a lot of stuff from people that were like
that pier engineers who were like, "The pier is still standing."
That but there's wasn't also people that are like, "Hey, assholes! Like that, the boat is bigger than the bridge." Like,
oh, there's just so much mass.
You can't get hit by something.
If you look if you look at the damage, like you get the. They said this to somebody online. You're forced for a bridge. Like, yeah, you're going to take environmental like lateral movement. Right. And for shaking, whatever.
Yeah.
But like your strength in a bridge is down. They call that shear. Right. So it's meant for tremendous downward support.
Right. For weight from above.
And then also for like, okay, you're bridging a gap across a watery area where you're going to be, there's going to be wind. And you've seen bridges be like, you know,
yeah,
affected by wind blowing. But when something hits that steel structure and that whole steel structure, it's not like a regular bridge is like you go expansion joint to expansion joint over the piers. So if potentially, let's say you hit one pier and you knock the pier down, it could possibly just be related to these two spans on either side of it.
Yeah.
When you have a steel structure like that and something gets hit, now you've released this tremendous amount of energy is passing, right? That's you're transferring energy into something. So when you hit something from the side, like, I mean, that's something. And then once it starts going, it's physics in motion, man. That's it.
Yeah.
But I just, my horror is exactly like you ever seen everybody like movie when you're in a car and you're on a bridge and the bridge just collapses. I don't want to be in that car underwater. Like that's one of my biggest fears.
I don't want to think about it.
That's like my nightmare biggest fear.
And yet you have to take the Driscoll bridge to your house.
I'd rather fall off a bridge like being by myself and know I'm going to die hitting the water than being in a car where I know I'd probably have a better chance. But the fear for me is like being in a car underwater and like, you know, the scenes when somebody's got their head in there and they're like
Teddy
trying
Kennedy
to fucking,
stuff.
And you have to wait until the fucking car fills up with water so that it equalizes so you could open the doors.
But
that's
you take
a good
the Driscoll bridge multiple times a day, every day, right?
Oh yeah.
That's a quality bridge. Driscoll quality bridge.
Oh yeah. That was redone. It's a, it actually rides really nice now. Sometimes it depends. No, it's southbound definitely does.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Driscoll's, I mean, that's like one of the widest bridges in like,
yeah.
In like, I think the country or the state, it's like massive.
That thing carries
so
traffic.
You go underneath there and you look at the piers from down below. It's like insane. There's at least one death on the, redecking of the most recent, reconstruction of the Driscoll bridge. Somebody fell off of it, landed on a jersey.
Really?
Or, yeah.
And when people,
I like, worked with the guy that was standing next to him when he landed on the ground.
Jesus Christ. And is there still stuff too? Like there's like stories with the Brooklyn Bridge of like, yes, somebody fell into the cement and guess what? Like
in those footings, the, yeah, the
they're in there. Like we couldn't go in and get them out.
I worked with a surveyor, this guy Spence. He had retired. He was the guy who ran the tolls coming back from AC. Remember he like blew his entire like annuity in 3 months living in Atlantic City.
Yes. I've heard of this guy.
So I came back and he had to work again. But he was telling me about working on the Verrazano Bridge and like, you know, they were like pulling chain back then and like turning angles.
That's one of the longest bridges in the world, right? Like stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know.
Hallie's obsessed with that bridge. You know, I got engaged on the Verrazano Bridge.
It's not.
I was driving across the bridge. It's Hallie's favorite bridge. So halfway
just
over.
Stopped and got out.
There's no pedestrian walkway. No, I was just, I dangerously pulled the ring out of my pocket and proposed. But Hallie has told me that bridge is so long that they had to.
Yeah.
Account for an angle because it needs to match the curvature of the earth, that it needs to curve with the earth.
That's part of it. The other part is like camphor and load, right? So in any bridge steel, you're accounting for flex.
Yeah.
There's temperature, load, all these things going on. So it's partly that it's you're connecting straight pieces of steel that are like slightly curved. So
yeah,
it's curved this way. But also it's connected. It's like the same thing. The wind on those, the cables, the maintenance on any cable bridge is tremendous. Like from when you build the bridge from that moment on, the maintenance is starting from that timeline, like everything.
Now I always heard that part of why they stopped docking military ships in the New York harbors and had to start putting them down in Jersey is because the Verrazano is so massive that if an enemy or a terrorist attack ever collapsed the Verrazano Bridge, nothing's getting in and out of the entire New York harbor. So it all has to be south of the Verrazano
Plus, for the other thing, I was like, when I was doing the Bayonne Bridge project, like, and we raised that bridge 60 feet, that was to accommodate all the new ships that are coming. Like, these mega ships are so big.
Dude, when you see one come by from up close, when you're down near a river.
I tell you a story.
It's frightening. It's unbelievable.
I'm out on the diaphragm steel, probably midway up the arch of the Bayonne Bridge. And what happens when they're doing bridge construction, they put this stuff called safe span underneath the bridge. And it's like a few feet below the actual steel structure. And it's literally like corrugated metal that's being held up with like wires. So if you fall down, you land on this before you fucking fall off the side and die.
It's terrifying.
So at high tide, when the ships are coming through, there'd be like minimal on some of the larger ships, minimal clearance. But like some of them couldn't put their antennas all the way down. So I'm on this bridge and I hear this noise of, and everybody's like, I'm like, holy.
The antenna.
I get down. I'm on a 3.5 foot like steel diaphragm with an instrument set up. And I get down to like a squatting position like this. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? And like, I'm radioing to this guy that I'm working with. He's like, and I look down. Do you know what it's like when you're on a bridge? You look down and you see this something moving underneath you because it fucks with your like equilibrium.
I can't imagine.
So
I would be reduced to tears.
And I'm like, when I went on that job.
And just for everybody listening, Nick's demonstrating like, the pose
what,
he got into.
This is what you're like. They're like this, right? Yeah, and then like the wind's blowing. So I used to tie wire my legs down onto the steel, or sometimes I had these magnets.
When the boats would come by?
What's that? Oh, just in general, because the wind would be so bad.
Oh my goodness.
Like you have to be. There was days where you couldn't go out there, but there was days where it's like, okay, you can work at 20. The cranes are still going to make picks. We had this huge gantry that we're working off of. Like,
what's a gantry?
A gantry is like a horizontal crane, right? Oh that when we goodness. Built, what we did was we built the piers first, which are the main pieces that are hold the structure together. They were all precast. We cut holes in the highway above. And then using this gantry, which was like a long steel structure, we pick up these big precast pieces and you drop them down through these holes. So we have to guide them and you stack these pieces. They're like 15 feet high each.
Goodness.
And you stack them. And as you're stacking them, we're adjusting them for their alignment so that they're plumb and we have special markings on them of these precast pieces so that we have to get them right. And then they tension them with these like tensioning like steel wires and stuff.
Oh my God.
It's insane, right? So then once those are built, you put these piers on and this giant like probably like 300-400 foot long steel like it's almost like a boom of a crane is going from pier to pier. And then these pieces of the bridge that are made like it's like a cross section of a bridge. And it comes down, it slides in, and we attach one to each end, and then we twist the piers because we have to make
sure
that
they're like February.
Oh, this is all year long. I did this like I'd be like 2 o'clock in the morning, be like aligning these segments out.
Oh my god, dude.
And I'd be like sometimes you'd be on your belly on the segment because everybody was underneath the pier. You're on top of the road piece, right? And you're just out there. Like you're out there on the edge of the
dude. They and would have to
prism.
Pay me.
I have a prism this big.
They would have to pay me so much money to do that I'd be like, I will do this if I can retire forever afterwards.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, that would have happened, but no, they pay me good money. I like what I do.
That is.
But like, not everybody's like, oh, you know, I want an opportunity to do this, or I want to like, oh, union guys make too much money. I'm like, okay.
You get up there.
Come out and be able to function and perform and do what these guys do every day. Like, even when I post those pictures like the cranes, it's like, the one reason I took a picture is like, this guy's near the chuck on the crane. He's 6'2", and the chuck on the crane is like, and this is something that I'm working under all the time that's carrying tremendous loads that, like, you know, I have to have faith in everybody that I'm working with that they are, you know, doing their best and they have my interest. So, you know, that's where.
Whatever. Now, to bring it full circle.
The boats, anyway.
We're going to wrap this episode up.
Yeah, sorry,
No, I love it. You know I love nothing more than your union job war stories. You've said that generally you do feel safe with the infrastructure of New Jersey, that that the drivers scare you a lot more, that the people's behavior is far scarier. And I agree with that. That being said, if there's one bridge in this state where you're like, that is the one that would scare me the most, is it the Pulaski Skyway?
Even though it's been redone, I still like have some anxiety because you know what happens?
I get up there and that's a crazy.
I wind up driving that bridge and like I catch myself driving really fast out of fear.
Yeah, same.
Because it's if you're not an aggressive, offensive driver out there, and you don't like take opportunities when you have them, like you can get yourself into a bad situation. And there's so many fucking bad. Like somebody will just stop in the middle of the fucking plastic.
The person in the right lane will be going 35, and somebody will go by on the left at literally 90 miles an hour.
Somebody pulls out. Like,
and how many hundreds of feet high is that bridge?
It's real high. I forgot the highest point. I'd have to tell you tomorrow, because the guy Ruben I'm with now did the Pulaski for. He was there for like 5 years.
But that's not.
I turned that job down,
dude. And that's not a joke. When Ruben's working up there over there, you're over land for the majority of it.
That's just normal.
The Meadowlands are underneath you. Parts of them are on fire. Underneath you
in some places.
That's got to be hell. Yeah. That's got to be hell to go work.
All
that.
Bridge reconstruction work is terrible.
Yeah.
So the saving grace. But the Pulaski,
you don't even get to take a deep breath and be like, look at the sweeping view of the river.
When I'm driving on that, and that was before and post like update, I'm like white knuckle Nick. Like I'm like, okay.
Yeah, man.
If I can avoid having to take that. But I hit it one night where they shut down all these exits on the turnpike, and I was working in Secaucus, and I get out at like 2:30 in the morning. I'm like, fuck, I had to go circumnavigate all the way down Tunnel Lee and then jump on the blast to get down.
Just what you need at 2:30 a.m.
I made it. I mean, I scared myself because I was like, there was no one on the fucking road. I made it from Secaucus all the way to like to the parkway and like, I mean, some ungodly speed. Like, it was like I was on a time warp going through this thing. Because it's like, you just go.
Yeah, man.
It's like a warm summer night at 2:30 in the morning. I'm like, I'm fucking feeling it. But yeah, it's like, it is terrifying. I would say that is, I know it's a safe, structurally sound bridge, but it's unnerving to drive on
it
that
is
thing.
Like a gothic nightmare.
It's like, I feel like I'm sitting here. I like put my arms in when I'm driving because I feel like I can't fit. Like, I know I'm in a car, you know what I mean? So God help me. I'm glad I drive in Tacoma now and not like a bigger truck, because that's a hell of a...
Wait, dude, when you're like on the Driscoll, you go, oh, there's the water. There's the weird blue lake. There's the old abandoned movie theater.
Maybe if you're the passenger,
But you know what I mean? You can take a breath and look at it. When you're on the Pulaski Skyway, you're like...
Oh, it's pay the fuck attention. If you're texting and you're driving on there, you're gonna die.
You deserve whatever happens to you. Because if you fall off that bridge, over water at all?
It doesn't matter if you're over water or land. You're going to crash and die.
But you might plummet 300 feet into a parking lot.
Oh, exactly.
You might like bounce off a
for
shipping
shits and
container.
Giggles, drive by it now, because they have a bunch of it, especially when you're on the turnpike and you're coming past 15E and you're going under the plastic. It's like draped right now because they're painting it.
Yeah,
like you'll see it. So they have it like boxed out and stuff like that.
But oh,
like,
my goodness.
For years they've been replacing like the down drains. So if you want to talk about the tremendous volume of water like coming off the roadways, and like before they were just literally, if you were driving through any of the streets down there and there was like a downspout that was coming, you like driving all of a sudden, like, like you would get hit with like a barrage of like, if you weren't expecting it and this thing hit your window, you'd be like, oh, like you would. Oh, I'm sorry to me, yo.
That's all right.
I know Cal's like sleeping, but
he loves that. You're for anybody listening, Cal was still awake when Nick got here.
I felt bad. I was like, oh,
dude, but you showed up. You're like, Cal, I brought you donuts for the morning. He immediately started literally physically assaulting me and then looking at you to see if you were laughing. Like, honestly, punching me in my face.
Like, great.
And then grinning at you so you'd be like, good job, buddy. And then when I put him to bed, he said, is Bonaduce sleeping at our house? I said, no, I don't think so. And then he went, will he come back tomorrow? And I was like, I don't know, maybe.
If I could play hooky from work tomorrow, I'd come and we'd go eat pancakes, but... I can't. He's gonna be bigger than you soon.
He's gonna be. Yeah. He's definitely gonna be taller than me when he grows up. Dude, when you saw him today, he's like,
he's solid.
Yeah, and he's
like, he's almost bigger than you when you were like 14. He looks more mature.
He's about to turn 5. Looks like I looked as a sophomore in high school.
He's gonna be. I always tell you, he's gonna be a big kid, man.
I think he is.
He's like just solid.
Anyway, Nick. Seattle's up by 20. Yeah, Georgia looks like they're finally trying to put up some fight, but they're up by 20. This game's taking place. So, dude, the first three rounds of the NIT were cool because they Seton Hall was ranked high enough. They had the home games on all of them, but they couldn't get the Prudential Center, so they did them at the old Walsh Gymnasium on campus at Seton Hall.
Nice.
Seats like 1,500 people packed out. Now they're in Indianapolis. No one cares. And
it looks like it's well attended.
I don't know, man. That stadium looks pretty empty to me. But they're up 20. It looks like they're going to go to the final. Go Pirates. Go Seton Hall. Win the NIT.
It is empty. Kind
of. Seton Hall wins the NIT. UConn wins the NCAA. The Big East gets their revenge. I think it would be pretty great. And Nick, thanks for coming over. This in-person episode.
Thanks for having me, man.
I think for anybody, you know.
And I'll come to anybody's house. My radio.
This is what it's like. Yeah, this was all an advertisement for Nick's service, which is that if you need to chat about any of these things.
I also pet sit.
But for real, I know that some of this stuff is new. Some of this stuff is stuff we touch on all the time. But it's legit. This is what it's like when we hang out. We
hot dogs, basketball.
Infrastructure.
Infrastructure.
Assholes.
Yeah.
How much you like the water.
North Jersey makes you angry.
Anyway. All right, Bonaduce. I'll have to make sure that I give Cal one of those sweet munchkins in the morning because it was very kind of you to bring them. Thanks so much for coming, buddy.
Cheers.
Let's go Hall.
Oh! I've never opened one of these with one of those, have I? Well, you're welcome. Or, I'm sorry. Pork roll. Taylor ham. Who knows? Who am I apologizing to? Who am I... How am I apologizing and saying thank you at the same time? Hey, everybody, how's it going? This is the voice of super producer and editor Carson Kopp here to wrap up the old episode for you. Boy, do I ever love me a Get the Dooch episode. They are so few and far between, but yet, when they're here, oh boy, feels like home, doesn't it? That was a great one. It was a lot of fun. Big ups to Seton Hall. Go Pirates. I really don't give a damn, but I do. I'm going to keep it short and sweet on this one, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, the month is April. The day that I'm recording this on, or that you're hearing this on, is probably April 8th. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what are you doing on Saturday, April 20th, coming up? You know what? I know what you're doing. You're going to head on over to the Ghost Hawk Brewing Company at 321 River Road in Clifton from noon till 8 p.m. They will be celebrating their 5th anniversary of being the most excellent brewery in New Jersey. Now, what does this have to do with New Jersey as the world? Well, dear listener, I'll be bringing my PA over there, and I will be amplifying the goth, punk, surf, spooky sounds of New Jersey's own and, dare I say, no, I will say, finest live music combo, the Draculas, will be playing at some point during the duration of the event. I'm guessing around 6. I'll have more details to follow as we dial that in, but it will be an all-day event over at Ghost Hawk. It's a block party vibe. There will be food trucks. There will be revelry and community and beer. And I would assume music being piped in through the event all day, culminating in a live set, as I said before, Jersey City's own Draculas. You can check them out on Instagram at THEDRACU_Laws, LAS. The Draculas. Easy name to spell, easy name to say. What more could you ask from a band name? Anyway, I hope you guys are having a great week. I hope you continue to have a great week. And that's about all we got for you until we speak again. Mark the date as if you needed to. Saturday, April 20th at the Ghost Hawk Brewing Company in Clifton. Starts at noon, runs till 8. And that's all there is to say. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.